Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. I'm Maria Bailey, just back from Africa. And wow, talk about an eye-opening experience. I think the first thing that I would say to most moms is hug your children and appreciate what you have. That's for sure. I just spent 2 weeks living in a very remote village in the country of Cameroon, where my daughter is serving in the Peace Corps. No electricity, no running water. In fact, we were very integrated into the community there, and it's just amazing to watch how families function without the everyday conveniences that we live with here in the United States. You know, I'll give you one example. There was a well at the edge of the village where I was, and when they have water, which is not often, but when they have water, everybody brings their buckets and their pails and these big containers that look like gas tanks, you know, like the things that you would fill up with your spare gas, and fills them up with water. And that's the water that you would use for bathing, for washing your clothes, for cooking, everything. And nothing broke my heart more than seeing about 50 people gathered around this well, and the water's coming out really fast, but probably 2 hours later, you're seeing it just dripping, just barely coming out, and all of these buckets that are lined up just hoping that they get a little bit of that water. And 3 hours we waited for one bucket of water, which, as you can imagine, doesn't go very far when you have an entire family. So so I just say to you, if you leave the water running while you are brushing your teeth, turn it off. Just use a little less water, because there are people around the world that really need that water, and the earth only has so much. So there you have it. That's my little tidbit in my life lesson out of spending 2 weeks in Africa. The other life lesson is you don't really need Facebook, Instagram, or social media. You can live without it. I actually did something that I thought I could never do in my entire life, and that was I actually went 10 days without washing my hair, which is pretty, for me, a pretty amazing thing. But anyways, I'm back from Africa. And when we think about our children and nutrition, and I want you to think about pre-mama, because even as early as the time that you are trying to get pregnant, you should be giving your baby those supplements. Go to drinkpremama.com, where you'll find all of their vitamin supplements. We have a big show lined up for you, and when we return, we're going to talk about mental health with a mental health professional and the health of babies and mothers.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have with us today Dana Kurtz. She is a leading authority on the subject of women transitioning to motherhood and services as the director of the Anna Keefe Women's Center at the Training Institute for Mental Health in Manhattan. Ooh, a lot of stuff there. She has been a contributor for the Doctor's Book of Natural Remedies. She's also been in a whole bunch of places, including Huffington Post and the Today Show. And she's here to talk with us today about motherhood and what happens in that transformation to motherhood with women. So welcome, Dana, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's really lovely to be here. I appreciate it.
Good to have you here. We were just talking earlier in the show. I actually just got back from 2 weeks in Africa, where I was embedded in a village, and I was talking about my observations when it comes to women and motherhood and caring for your family. And as advanced as we are here, it seems that we sometimes forget to pay attention to mom and the woman that we are after we have the baby, whether it's our health or our mental well-being. And you actually are though someone who's drawn attention to that. So you can talk a little bit about it.
Yes, and thank you for giving me a platform to be able to do it. I think you have identified very rightly a trend societally for us, which is that we tend to focus pretty exclusively on childcare and infant care, which of course is hugely important, but we have completely neglected something that I call mother care, which is the right, and I believe it is a right of every woman to have access to reliable and cost-effective tools that she can use to smooth the maternal transition. And so often women have to navigate the challenges of motherhood, particularly early motherhood, without the resources that they're really entitled to have. And that's problematic. It's problematic for the moms and by extension for their babies.
All right. So I wonder if is part of it too that as women we don't take ownership of that fact that we might not transition as easily as we thought into motherhood. So maybe we don't seek the we're so focused on the baby that we don't focus on ourselves.
Yes, I think that's a large part of the issue. And I think there is a, I think the messages we get are that maternal instinct and mother's intuition are all that we need to gracefully transition into motherhood and manage the challenges inherent in mothering young children. And maternal instinct and mother's intuition are wonderful. They inform how we tend to our babies, but they do not inform how we tend to ourselves. And that's something that women need to be educated about and to be prepared to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, because you've been into this a long time, have you seen that transformation changing? I mean, with social media now, you have a baby and everybody's, you know, putting their cute little pictures online and stuff. Does that add like a new dimension to the pressure and the difficulty in that transformation?
Absolutely. And I'm really glad that you highlighted that, because there is, I think, a disconnect that's created for so many of us when we look online and we see, particularly in celebrity culture, we see so many new moms who are, you know, back to their pre-pregnancy size within seemingly hours of being discharged from the hospital or the birthing center. But what we don't see are, you know, the signs of sleep deprivation and social isolation and navigating the mechanics of breastfeeding, which for many women, if they choose to do it, can be tremendously challenging. So the expectation is that we are supposed to look a particular way, you know, the way that we might see that image on Instagram. But the reality can be very different, and that's hard for a lot of women to process.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Mother Matters.
So Mother Matters is essentially a manual on mother care. It is a self-help guide that offers a whole toolkit of reliable, research-based, cost-effective, many of them are free, actually, resources that women can use to bolster their own mother care, so that, you know, while we're waiting for bigger societal changes to be made that point to being able to boost mothers up, we can sort of, you know, take control of our own self-care and make the transition easier on ourselves.
There's like a part of me that wants to dive a little bit deeper in that mother care. Like when it Like, what
I'm so
is
glad.
The big, well, I just wonder, like, what is the biggest challenge? Is it like the sleep deprivation? Is it the hormone imbalance? Is it that we just can't juggle? And I only have 2 minutes to ask you this, but like, what is the biggest challenge you're seeing?
Part of the conundrum here is that there isn't a singularly biggest challenge, that even though mothering is in many ways a universal experience, it's also a very personal one, which is why I wanted the book to offer a wide range of resources, expressive arts therapy, dietary choices, meditation, acupressure, so that women could pick and choose what works for them as individuals and leave the rest.
Well, that makes really great sense, and I'm so glad that someone like you is focusing on this. Can you tell everyone where we can find you and your books and all the information that you have to share?
Absolutely. So you can always find me at my website, which is Dayna, D-A-Y-N-A, M like Michelle, Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z.com, DaynaMKurtz.com. And Mother Matters is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, direct from my publisher, Familius Press, and anywhere else fine books are sold.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on Mom Talk Radio. It's such a good topic, and we should pay attention to ourselves because it's not as easy as just, you know, squatting and having a baby. There's a lot going on there. So thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio. You know, as we move into the summer months, this is a good time to not only, you know, prepare yourself for your kids being home all these, you know, full time, but maybe start a new routine now that it's spring and get yourself put some effort into spending a little time on yourself. That's I think would be a great goal for as we move forward into the second part of this year. When we return, we're going to be speaking with Darlene D. She is the owner of BabyCostsMoney.com.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
So this might not surprise you, but babies cost money, and one mom has taken that to another level. She has a blog that is called just that, babiescostmoney.com, and her name is Darlene D. She's the mother of three, and I pity her because she actually has a big gap between her children, and I think it's a little harder that way. But she's here to share her expertise with us. Darlene, welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We all know that babies cost money, but you kind of like did something creative with it. What inspired you?
When I found out that I was pregnant with my surprise little third baby in 2014, I had a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old. They were both born in the last millennium. I did not have the internet then, so I did lots of Googling when I was pregnant, and I found out that it was going to cost $245,000 to raise this baby. And
right.
I thought, what? That can't be right. Before college, even. So I decided to get a truck, basically. And that's what the blog is. Every single penny spent on this last baby. And there were no hand-me-downs because I did not keep the things from the 90s.
So your baby is now two. So what do you figure you've spent in the last 2 years?
I don't have to figure. It's at the bottom of every blog post. I think I'm either creeping up on $26,000 or $27,000. It's crazy, insane.
Okay, so what has been the biggest surprise in what you've spent money on?
The birthday parties, I think. I spent over $500 on each birthday party so far. And it seems like a baby's birthday party should be cake and, you know, some playing. They don't care. They don't care about the decorations. I blame Pinterest for this 100%. I love Pinterest. But I do believe that Pinterest should have a materials cost breakdown, much the way many restaurants are required to have calorie counts on their menus, because it can get out of control really quickly.
That's awesome. So So what have you been able to, have you found areas where you can kind of like curb the cost? Like where have you been able to save money?
Well, I stopped buying things when I hit about $25,000. I looked around, I said, she has enough, and I still feed her, but I have sort of stopped buying toys. We go outside and play. I just decided that it's kind of ridiculous. Obviously, I haven't stopped buying every toy or every new cute shirt that I see on the rack because I'm at $26,000. Clearly, I'm spending money, but I'm not trying to show everyone the cheapest way to raise a kid in America, just what I'm doing, and I'm counting. Are these numbers right? How are we getting there?
So, okay, so you've reached $26,000 in 2 years. Was any of that like saving for college tuition or anything for the future?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Okay. Doggone it. I was hoping you were going to say yes.
Well, actually, now that you say that, her grandparents contribute to her, what is it called, a 529, things like
right,
that.
Right.
So I don't include gifts because I don't include things that people give to me. It's just literally money that my husband and I spent on this child. And
wow. Okay, so so you are a mom that has experience with two ends. I want to, because we're almost out of time, I want to talk about something that you always have, a Monday's mama. So today your question is the PTA bake sale, homemade, store-bought, or nothing at all. Like, give me some of your thoughts.
Oh, yes, I do ask that of every Monday's mama that I feature. And I would like to be a nope mom. I aspire to be a nope mom. But
okay.
The reality is I am going to spend all night long making something because more than being a nope mom, I like to be the winner of the bake sale, if you know what I mean.
yeah, I kind of know
my
what you
cake
mean.
My cake pops will be the prettiest.
I am. Thank God they didn't have cake pops when my kids were little because I would have, or Pinterest. So you would say the second time around is a little bit harder because of those things, right?
I think that it is. Before we didn't know. I mean, it was just our neighbors and what my mom told me. And I still listen to my mom and my neighbors, but my neighbors are like virtual now. So
that virtual playground. Well, Darlene, thank you so much for being here. The website is babycostmoney.com. Definitely, it's very interesting. Follow along as Darlene tracks her money. Thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking about finding peace and happiness through the lives and stories of others.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, we've had a lot of authors on Mom Talk Radio with a lot of unusual and unique names for their books. But today, we have one that you're going to want to pay attention to because it's very, very cool, too. The author is Daryl Kelly. He is the author of the book Yugim, and it's a handbook that helps readers from any background find peace and happiness in their lives through God. And we're going to have him tell you all about the name and how he got it. And I want to welcome Daryl to Mom Talk Radio. Hey, Daryl.
Well, how are you? And thank you for having me.
I want to add that you're an entrepreneur and a restaurant owner and the recipient of the Georgia Minority Business Award, which is very, very cool. And you you lead tax-exempt organizations, saving every tender penny. So thank you for everything you do and now the author of this book. So tell me a little bit about the title of the book first.
Well, the title of the book is called The Book of Wugim, which is an acronym for God of the Universe, God of the World, God of all gods, God of everything, and God of anything, including me. What we believe in is definitely one God, and no matter who you are, where you come from, we still come from one God. And we believe in love, unity, and acceptance. And that's primarily everything that I can tell you in a short period of time.
So let's talk about some of the things that you talk about in the book, random acts of kindness. Can you, you know, I think we all know about random acts of kindness. Maybe we think about paying someone for someone's coffee in the Starbucks line, but what's really the best ways to practice that?
Well, the best way to practice random acts of kindness is that you just basically wake up every day, as I do. I thank God. That's the first thing I do when I get up, is I thank Him for allowing me to be on this great planet again. And random acts of kindness is when you go about your day, you don't have anything planned. You just go to work, your average day, and if you see something out of the ordinary, like a person out there struggling who needs food, who has a flat tire on the middle of the road, somebody who is primarily sleeping under a bridge, you go and you help them, and that is a random act of kindness. It comes from the heart. It's not something that you look for. It's something that automatically hits your heart when you know that somebody's in need. You just go ahead and help them. You have to be basically born with it, I think. And you have to be a loving and caring person to understand that everybody needs help. And that's the basically what random acts of kindness is. It doesn't matter. You just got to help people if you can, only if you can.
And what do we get out of that?
Well, I don't know what you guys get out of it, but what I get out of it is a beautiful smile. I get love from God. I also, you know, make a person smile as well. What I get out of it is joy. What I get out of it is life. What I get out of it is knowing that I've helped somebody who really needed us at that time and at that place. And you get a lot of love out of it. That's what we get out of it.
The karma we put out there and the love that we put out there always comes back to us. Are there certain people that are more apt to practice random acts of kindness?
Well, everybody is totally different. Everybody is totally different. You know, either you're for God or you're for people or you're not. You can't make anybody do random acts of kindness. It's something that's natural. You know, you cannot do it. People do things for people, then they throw it in your face and they talk about what they've done for you, and then they have the nerve to act for it back. That is not random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness, if you do something for somebody, you don't ask for them for it back, and you appreciate that you've done that for them, and you go about your day and you help the next person if you can. That's what random acts of kindness is. And if you want to go ahead and you want to buy my book just because, you know, I'm asking you, you can randomly go in your pocketbook and pay for it.
Yeah, I got it. Why have you combined? So you're a businessman who's done incredible things with your business. Why have you combined these two things? Or like, why have you taken the time to write a book on this and been focused on these random acts of kindness when you're such a business-minded person? Because the two... Like, did the two go together?
Well, let me tell you what happened. I was watching TV, and when I was watching TV, I came across a commercial, which it was Christian Faith Publishing, and they says, if you have a book that you want to publish, go ahead. I had no book at the time, and I wasn't thinking about writing a book, but something, you know, I think the Spirit of God made me call that phone number, and I spoke with a very nice lady. Every couple months, she will call me and ask me, am I ready for this book? So finally, she went ahead and she called me one day, and I said, you know what? This lady keeps calling me. I might as well get it over with. I says, I'll have your book for you. Within 3 weeks, I've written some stuff down. I was driving, and I stopped. I was at work. I wrote it down, and I basically had somebody type up everything that I said. 3 weeks later, I send it in. She called me back and says, hey, we want to publish your book. And I says, really? And they says, yes. And I'm happy to say today, I talked to them, and we sold over 100 copies, much, much over 100 copies. And I'm so amazed in the first quarter, just, you know, selling this beautiful
right.
book. And I'm just
right.
happy that I was able to do it. So I think God yeah. led me to do that. I know He did.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing happens by accident. So what do you hope that people will get out of this now that you've taken the time to do it?
Well, I hope that they get out of love, unity, and acceptance, because in this world today, I think we all should be closer together. We should love each other. I think we should unify, because at the end of the day, we're all living in the same planet. It doesn't matter. We all from God. But most importantly, we got to accept each other for who we are. And it doesn't matter, you know, you can be anybody. We have to accept each other for who we are. We have to unify regardless of race and regardless of religion. And we have to love each other because, hey, if you say you love God and you love Jesus, how can you not love the people that God created? And how can you not love them when he put us on this planet together? That's what I want them to get out of it. I want them to go ahead and understand that there is 4,200 plus religions in the world, but there's only one God, and we need to treat each other with more love and more respect. And then I think we will get along better and we'll be very happy together. And that's basically what the message they need to understand.
Well, really good, good message. And where can everyone find your book?
Well, they can go ahead and they can go to Amazon. They can go to Barnes & Noble. They can go to iTunes and Christian Faith Publishing. And they can also check out my website at uwgeam.com. You can follow us on Twitter, uwgeam.com. Most importantly, Instagram, uwgeam.com. And if you follow me home, that is called stalking.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we have a link to your book on Mom Talk Radio. Good luck with it. It sounds like it's you're off to a good start. So thank you so much for spending some of your day with us here on Mom Talk Radio. And for all you moms out there, there are plenty of times to do that act of kindness to someone, maybe another mom, help them out today. It's a good message and a really good direction to go. When we return, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Liz Mathias. She is the co-founder of the Psychological and Educational Consulting Group, and she's going to be talking a little bit about how we deal with family members with anxiety, ADHD, autism, learning disabilities, and behavioral struggles. Believe it or not, it touches just about every family, and Dr. Liz will be here to help us out with those problems. But so stay with us when we return, Dr. Liz.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm delighted to have with us today Dr. Liz Mathias. She's the co-founder of the Psychological and Educational Consulting LLC in Poughkeepsie. She is a licensed clinical psychologist and certified school psychologist. And we're going to be talking today about the struggles that parents have with technology. So welcome, Dr. Liz, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here again.
Technology is everywhere. And it seems that either we're becoming more comfortable with our kids being in front of a screen, or we're just not able to really monitor it very well. So what are the challenges and how do we approach them when it comes to kids and technology right now?
Like you said, technology is everywhere and we're not going to escape it. It's going to be around for the long term. And so as parents, because this is not the way we've learned to function as students and so forth, we're going to have to figure out how much we want our children on the screens. But there is some detriment to our children having unlimited time on the screens. It's impacting things like social skills. It's impacting their self-perception and their self-esteem. It's limiting their ability to focus and concentrate on doing homework. And it's disturbing to an extent, but like we said, it's here, so it's not going anywhere, and we have to learn how to work with it.
Do we use timers? Do we use software? I mean, and then what age child should we worry about it?
So I think that any time you give a child a screen, you do want to time limit it. I don't think these screens were meant for us to sit in front of them or our children and their developing brains for extended periods of time. So we do have to limit it. You know, one show, one game, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. There are a lot of families that I work with who like to turn the screens off from Monday to Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're back on with time restraints. Because our children go ahead.
But is that realistic when, you know, so many of our kids don't even have books anymore. I mean, my kids have just iPads. They don't even have a book. So how could I turn off the screen Monday through Thursday?
Well, I think it's a decision that you make, and then you offer other things that they can be doing, because they're very reinforcing. The iPads are incredibly reinforcing. Us as parents, we love to be on our phones and to look up websites. You get instant gratification. You get instant information. And so bring back the books. Put them in the house, you know, play the games.
What I'm saying is there are some schools that are 100% bookless. So my children's school books are like, they can't go to school without their iPad because they have no books. And that's not my decision as a parent. That's the school's decision that they go to. So like I was asking from that perspective, how you manage that. Yeah.
So I think when the books are on the iPads, they have to be on them, but it's continuing to monitor that they're not playing a game in between reading two pages, which is what happens. You know, the average child is spending 6.5 hours in front of a screen, and that's before they do anything that's school-related, you know, with the screens. Because you're right, kids are getting Chromebooks and iPads. Then, you know, when they walk in through the door, they submit their papers online, they do their work on the Google Classrooms. And so I understand that there's a true reality, but in terms of when they're using it for entertainment purposes and non-academic purposes, like the video games, playing games on the computer, playing games on the iPad, that's where we have to come in and say, okay, you can have time to play, but where I'm going to set the timer, and then when it's done, you have to turn it in.
Do you think that we're, as parents, setting a bad example too when, you know, we're not truly present with our children because we're on our iPads and our iPhones and everything else as well?
You're onto something here. I think as parents, we also get very, very engrossed in our phones, whether it's for work or pleasure. I think as a family, there's decisions that need to be made to turn in the phone during dinner or turn in the phone during a car ride so that conversations are encouraged and you can interact and bond. I know for my own son, the phone gets turned in at a particular hour each night because our children, their brains are developing and they don't necessarily have the capability to say, oh, it's been 30 minutes. Let me stop playing on this. Time goes by and they don't even know. They really have a great deal of difficulty self-monitoring. So that's where we as the adults have to do that. But like you're saying, we also need to be the role models of put down the phone. It's time for dinner. Put the phone away. We're going to be in the car without the phone and we're going to talk or we're going to sit in silence.
I have to tell you, having just returned from Africa for 2 weeks where there was absolutely no technology in the village I was, it was so refreshing to see kids playing with marbles and chalk and played hopscotch and jumped rope. So I agree. And we're out of time, but I want to let everyone know we have a link to Dr. Liz's website on Mom Talk Radio. Just go there. You'll click on it. It's psychconsult.com. You'll find her there. And when we return, we're going to be joined by an award-winning business and blogger. Heartworkorganizing.com is her site. And she's going to be talking a little bit about how we help people lead more peaceful and beautiful lives.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Who's been here before, but it's been a while. So we brought her back, Darla DeMauro. She is an award-winning business and a blogger. The Heart Work Organizing. It helps people lead more peaceful and beautiful lives. She's a leader in business for over 25 years. She's a certified professional organizer. She's the mom of two girls. She's written books. She's awesome. And she's here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Darla, to our show.
Thank you for having me.
So we hear a lot about professional organizers. So what does that mean and how do you help people declutter their lives?
So I'm glad you started with decluttering because we actually do decluttering, but what we really do is help people lead more peaceful lives. And that is through helping them with their stuff, their time, their information, and at my company, we also help them organize their photos. But we do want to talk about decluttering today because that is, you know, where a lot of people start.
So some people don't even know what clutter is, right? Because they are so used to just living the way they live. So what is clutter? And
right.
What form does it take on?
So I brought the book out, so Organizing Your Home with Sort and Succeed. I brought that out to help people understand what clutter is and what it isn't. And a lot of people I know, they get this bug, especially in the springtime, to start throwing things out, and they think that's decluttering and that's good. But what happens after that? A lot of people will then reward themselves after they've had a good decluttering spree with a shopping spree. And they're sort of in this vicious cycle. They're right back in this house that is cluttered and full and makes them crazy and late and cranky all the time. And none of that's good. So what we want them to learn is to how to go into their space and understand what's going on with the space and their stuff and what's going on in their brain so that they can be making better decisions as a consumer. They can be making better decisions at the store about what they're bringing home, and also so they can set up systems at home so they can physically see when they have enough, when they have too much, and when they need to maybe tweak their systems to live more peaceful lives.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I find I go to Target or Walmart and I'm standing in line and I'm looking at the basket and I don't know what went off of my brain in the last couple of years, but I'm always like looking at it and going, okay, where am I putting this stuff? Like everything's got to have a space in my house. And like I buy things now and I think, you know what? I don't really want to use up a space with that. And whatever that is, it could be something silly like extra rolls of toilet paper. But how do you make like lasting changes in organizing your house?
Isn't that funny that we didn't for so long make that connection while we were standing there at Target looking at our cart going, where's that stuff going to go? But we have this saying in the organizing industry that we spend the first 40 years of our lives bringing things home or bringing things into our home, and then the second 40 years of our lives kind of getting things out of our homes. And I think that's very true. But you asked a good question. You know, how do you make lasting changes? Well, you're going to, you know, ideally we're going to understand what's going on in our brain. You know, when we're feeling overwhelmed and we're keeping clutter and we're thinking, oh my gosh, how did it get this way? You know, it's not just a personal issue. There are things going on in the brain that that everybody's brain works this way. It's how we are made as humans. Right. And we are understanding these are not just personal issues. It's not a moral failing. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It actually means you're perfectly normal. But here are the strategies that you can take to make lasting changes when that, like you said, Maria, when that goes off in your brain and you think, wait a minute, what am I doing? Is this really going to make me happy if I bring this home?
Can you tell me that in 60 seconds or less?
Yep. So something like the 80-20 rule, we wear 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. So focus on the stuff we love and we use and we love. And the other 80%, you know, don't be bringing it home and get rid of it sooner. Use the 24-hour rule.
Darla's online with all this great information and knowledge at heartworkorg.com. You can find it on Mom Talk Radio because we have a list. And as you can tell, Darla has so much expertise, and I want to make sure that you have access to it. I want to thank everyone for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We'll see you next week here, same place, same time, or during the week on our social media channels.